some other.
Hare Krishna. Since this morning I was listening to Madhav Brajalila so wonderfully introducing everyone, and while doing that she was glorifying everyone in such a wonderful way. You know, when one is capable of glorifying other devotees, what does it signify? When one is able to glorify somebody, that means pure heart. Only when our heart is pure, we are able to see the greatness of others. Even though they do not have those greatness, still, because of their own purity, they perceive that. And you will notice in yourself also, or rather, when we are able to glorify other devotees, that is an indication that our heart is getting purified. When we are not able to glorify other pure devotees, that means something is wrong there. Thank you so much, Madhav Brajalila. And thank you so much for telling me that how much Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj liked that Abhaycharan series. Actually, at times I wonder whether this project was worth its while. You know, like I did put a lot of effort in that to complete it, to make it. And when I hear that someone like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj appreciated it, I mean, I feel really happy about that. You know, I feel that my effort has been successful. You see, I'll honestly admit one thing, that it's very difficult to portray Srila Prabhupada, especially when his disciples are around. Those who have seen him, those who have had their encounters with him, you know, for them, you know, like they won't, I mean, it's, they will not see this to be, you know, worth its while, because, you know, the depiction will never match the reality. And sometimes I feel that, I mean, that Prabhupada's disciples probably will find it falling short of its mark. But when you say that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj liked it so much, I feel that my effort has been successful indeed. Thank you so much. And once again, I will thank all of you for allowing me to come and be with you all. And especially the organizers. Mother Krishna Nandini was the first one to write to me to ask to come here. And actually this weekend I was supposed to be in Los Angeles for the Prabhupada Memorial Festival. But when I got the invitation to be here with you all, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's wonderful disciples, and to reminisce, to recall the wonderful pastimes of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I considered that this will be a wonderful occasion. And at the same time, I also feel rather obliged to be here, because before leaving, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj once asked me to take care of his disciples. And I feel that, often I feel that I haven't been able to do that properly. And that also reminds me another thing, that after Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disappearance, I wanted to make a movie on him. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to do that as of yet because of various reasons. One thing is, you know, financial considerations. But one thing I know, that if I can make a movie out of his life, depicting his life and achievements, I mean, it's going to be something remarkable. And anyway, that desire is still there, and let's see whether I can fulfill that. One thing is that while making Abhay Charan, I made many mistakes. And from those mistakes I learned. Like today, if I had to do that again, I won't make those same mistakes. Like, this production would be very different. And I, in a way, I was thinking that if I do make a movie on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, like, I will be able to do it with greater experience and expertise. Hare Krishna. So, thank you all very much. So the topic that I am supposed to speak on is, how do we overcome anarthas to become united? This festival is uniting Srila Prabhupada's family. And it was a very wonderful theme to have the festival on, because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was a person who had always been wanting to do that, unite Srila Prabhupada's family. And he always wanted to unite everybody. He was, his main objective all throughout was to how to bring people into Krishna consciousness and how to take care of them. And in his memory, to have a festival of this nature is indeed very, very appropriate. Now, what prevents us from becoming united? It hits right the nail on the head. It hits the nail right on the head. What prevents us from becoming united? Radhanath Maharaj, during his class this morning, spoke about it. What prevents us? Our anarthas. Our anarthas. In the spiritual platform, there is no room for discord or disharmony. In that platform, everything is perfectly harmonious. And as a result of that, everyone is perfectly united in the spiritual platform. Why? Because everyone is naturally connected to Krishna. That is our constitutional position. The trouble starts when we become separated from Krishna. When our relationship with Krishna becomes severed, then only we become divided. Then only we lose the urge for unity or natural propensity for unity. In this respect, Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful example. Prabhupada said, take a handful of pebbles and throw them in a pool of water. As they drop on the water, what will happen? Each pebble will create a circle of waves. And those circle of waves will keep on expanding. And eventually they will clash with each other. But when you take these pebbles and start to throw them on the same center, one after another, those pebbles also will create a circle of waves. And those waves also will keep on increasing, but they'll never clash. So in this way, Prabhupada gave the example that when we all act for the sake of Krishna, for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, then although we'll have our individuality, but we'll not conflict. On the other hand, when we function on our with ourselves making the center, then eventually there will be conflict. No matter how deep the relationship is, eventually we won't be able to avoid conflict. It may take time, but eventually it will happen. And we are seeing that. And especially in this age. In this age, this is the age of Kali. You know what is the meaning of the word Kali? Kali, the word Kali is coming from Kalaha. Kalaha means quarrel. The one who causes quarrel is Kali. And we are seeing that's what is happening all over the world as the time progressing. The conflicts are becoming more and more prevalent. This is how Kali spreads his influence. Karala Varana Krurha Kalishcha Kalaha Priya. Kali is very expert in creating conflict. And that is how he spreads his influence. And the result of his influence is adharma. And adharma means drifting away from Krishna. Dharma means to go towards Krishna. Adharma means going away from Krishna. And that's what is happening. People are becoming more and more averse to Krishna consciousness. But the fortunate happening in this world is, although Kali is meant to rule over this planet for 432,000 years, but at the beginning of his domain, Krishna is meant to come. Krishna is supposed to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to defeat the influence of Kali. And in the middle of the age of Kali, due to the mercy, due to the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, dharma will be established once again, in a perfect way. Not only dharma will be established, but dharma will be presented, dharma will become manifest in the most glorious way for 10,000 years to come. For 10,000 years, Satya Yuga will be established. That means dharma will be perfectly established. And then gradually there will be a decline. The sandhas, the conjunctions of times, intensify the effect of the age. Like sandha means conjunctions of period, time. Dwapar Yuga ended, Kali Yuga is beginning. That is one sandha. And although Kali Yuga just began, Kali Yuga began only about 5,000 years ago. What is 5,000 years out of 432,000 years? It's just only one fraction of that period. But you can see how intense the effect of Kali Yuga has become. Like we are seeing how the society, how the world is becoming degraded more and more. In the world is very rapidly degrading. We are seeing, like 50 years back, the world situation was not so bad. 20 years back, the world situation was not so bad. But then, we are seeing how rapidly the world is becoming degraded. And all kinds of, Kali is making all kinds of arrangements, like TV, cell phone, right? All these things are accelerating the progress of Kali. We may think that they are wonderful. Well, in a way, they are wonderful arrangements. These technological developments are remarkable, no doubt. But unfortunately, those developments are being utilized by Kali to spread his influence. Now, to counteract that, what do we have to do? We have to just use them in Krishna's service. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. And we must do that. That is a challenge that we have. So the point here is, we are at a time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and established Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. And then a remarkable thing to note is that gradually, soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost. Mahaprabhu's dham and Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost through the mischievous propaganda of the upper sampradayas. They were claiming that they are the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but what they were doing? They were actually promoting adharma. They were promoting their Kali's agent. They were promoting the influence of Kali, meaning meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Can you imagine, in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those things were being promoted. They are saying that this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And that was really a dark age that prevailed about 200 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance. But then came Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he started to revive Mahaprabhu's teachings. Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost, Mahaprabhu's dham got lost. Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually retrieved those two things. He revived Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and he retrieved Mahaprabhu's dham, Mayapur. And in this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually started to re-establish Mahaprabhu's pure teachings. Then came Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a result of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's prayers to Lord Jagannath. In Jagannath Puri, Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed to Lord Jagannath, please send me a capable assistant to assist me in my mission. And as a result of that, Jagannath sent Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The mission that Bhakti Vinod Thakur started, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave it a shape. And then came Srila Prabhupada to fulfill that mission of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Take that movement out of India and spread it all over the world. And it is It is an amazing happening. It's an inconceivable happening. The way Srila Prabhupada did it. 10 years' time. Within a short span of 10 years' time, he spread this movement all over the world. And as I was briefly mentioning this morning, that in order to assist Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent these young boys and girls, especially in America. And Prabhupada himself admitted that they were sent by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The early devotees played a remarkable role in Prabhupada's mission. Mother Malati is undoubtedly one of them. They started the movement. They took the movement to San Francisco, which was the place of happening at that time. All the youth of America were just rushing. Prabhupada started the movement in New York, and he asked Mukunda Maharaj and Mother Janaki to go and set it up here in San Francisco. And then Mukunda Maharaj got his two other friends, Shamsundar Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu. And along with them came Mother Malati and Mother Jamuna. And not only they set it up for Srila Prabhupada in the most important place in America at that time, San Francisco. They took the movement to London. Just these three couples, young couples, left America. Didn't even have the means to go to London directly. They took a cheaper flight. Those days there used to be cheap flights to Luxembourg, and went to Luxembourg, and then from there they went to London. That's also another story. They didn't have enough money for all six of them to go together, because in the US-UK border, while crossing, you had to show a certain amount of money. They didn't have that money. So one couple went, showing that money, and then they wired the money back to Amsterdam for the second couple to go. And in this way, three couples went into London. And you know what a hardship they had gone through. I mean, you can well imagine, there was nothing at that time in London. Hare Krishna movement was completely new to this world. And just six young American boys and girls are trying to spread the movement by themselves. Didn't have any certainty, no place to stay. See how Krishna makes this arrangement. George Harrison, the Beatle, was one of the most celebrated person in the world at that time. The Beatles were the biggest thing happening at that time. And George Harrison, the Beatle, became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Due to their effort, Shamsundar Prabhu went and met. That's also another story. Shamsundar Prabhu had an acquaintance, Roxkali. Is that Roxkali, Mother Malati? Roxkali. He was the manager of the Grateful Dead, yeah? The manager of a famous music group, the Grateful Dead. And he just happened to meet him. Shamsundar Prabhu knew him from San Francisco, from Los Angeles. And Roxkelly assured him that he would introduce him to George Harrison. So when he went there to the Apple studio, the gatekeeper won't allow him to go in. So when he was reasoning with him, trying to convince him that he did have an appointment, at that time, Yoko Ono, John Lennon's wife, just appeared. She just arrived and she got out of her car and she saw him standing there talking to the gatekeeper. So she asked, "You must be a friend of George." And he said, "Yes." And she just took him in. He was sitting on the reception, in the reception, waiting for Roxkelly to show up. But instead of Roxkelly, who shows up? George Harrison. And he says, "Hey, where you guys been all this while? I have been looking for you. We saw you all in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and since then we had been trying to contact you." So this is how wonderfully Krishna works. And this is how we can see that this movement is progressing due to Krishna's divine arrangements. And those who are assisting Srila Prabhupada in this movement, they are not ordinary personalities. They all are very, very special devotees. They came here in this planet due to the divine arrangement of Krishna, and they assisted Srila Prabhupada in the most remarkable way. And that itself is a clear indication. So here we have assembled today to reminisce the greatness of one such wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj. I'm supposed to speak on how to get rid of our anarthas to become united. But I think the best way we can get rid of our anarthas, the best way to get rid of our anarthas is by following somebody who has got rid of his anarthas. Let's try to recall, let's try to remember that how these personalities have conquered their anarthas. And with Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, we can see an exceptionally brilliant personality from his childhood. Once Prabhupada said that Krishna, when he sends his devotees to this planet, to this material nature, Krishna makes the arrangements for them. Krishna takes care of them. And with Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, we see that he had such a wonderful mother. Mother's influence on the children is very, very important. This is one thing the mothers should always remember. Nowadays, I'm emphatically saying it, because nowadays what is happening, both the father and mother are working, and the children are left on their own to grow up, devoid of mother's love. But it is the mother's love that actually builds the character of a person. The more the love the child gets from the mother, the stronger will become his character. In this respect, we can remember, or we can consider that what is the milk? After the child is born, the mother's breast automatically becomes filled with milk. Now, what is that? That is Krishna's divine arrangement. It is the love of the mother that turns her blood into milk. So this way you can see, as soon as the child is born, the mother's heart becomes filled with an exceptional flow of love. And this love is meant to be offered to her son, offered to her child, or offered to her children rather. But the children today are being deprived of that, because the whole structure has become, whole social structure has become so difficult. In most cases, unless both the parents don't go out and work and earn money, most of the families will be in difficulty. That's why this arrangement, just mothers are being taken away from home to work and earn money. And the children are just left. So to go back to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's life, we see that he had a very, very special inundation of love from his mother. Maharaj many times mentioned that how affectionate his mother was and how she guided him in his life. And today we can see how and why he developed such a wonderful character. And then we see that he was naturally attracted to spiritual personalities. One of the personalities that influenced him in his childhood is Norman Anderson. A person who was already spiritually very astute, spiritually very profound. Maharaj was affected by him. And I think he became initiated by Prabhupada also, yeah? Norman Anderson. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj initiated him. Wonderful. Although he was about 40 years older than him. And he kind of guided him in his early days in his spiritual life. And then, of course, Maharaj himself admitted how his fiancée at that time, Eva Coleman, also helped him. She's the one who actually brought him to Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, after introducing him to Krishna consciousness, she left. This is also another arrangement of Krishna. She was meant to bring him into that. Now, after he comes to Krishna consciousness, then what do we find? An extremely charismatic, an extremely brilliant person, a leader in his own right, a Princeton graduate, an Ivy League college graduate, a brilliant personality whom many people thought to become something outstanding in his own way, and trying to push him according to their objectives, like some revolutionarily motivated individuals were trying to motivate him to grow up as a revolutionary. And they were making arrangements also to go to different places, and they helped him, of course. They helped Maharaj in a very nice way. I think Maharaj went to Nairobi, yeah? Like to in, did he go to Kenya to study for 6 months under the, oh no, I'm sorry, not Kenya. It was Caribbean. In Caribbean, one of his professors sent him to a school there where his brother-in-law was the headmaster, was the principal of that school. And he sent him there to study there under him for 6 months. And anyway, then Maharaj comes back, and their idea was to groom him up to become a leader for the black community in America. But ever since Maharaj came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, his whole objective changed. And I remember, after coming in contact with ISKCON, Maharaj did not completely submit. Like, one description was that he had shaved head, but he had beard. And he dressed up in a normal way. So, he was making a point that he partly accepted Krishna consciousness. He is partly influenced by mystic Islamism. And at the same time, he was trying to be like everybody else. But when he came across Srila Prabhupada, then he completely changed. As Radhanath Maharaj pointed out in his class this morning, he went and complained to Prabhupada about discrimination in ISKCON, racial discrimination, even in ISKCON, in a spiritual organization. And do you remember what was Prabhupada's response? If you are affected by that, that means you are also in a bodily body consciousness. You are not in spiritual consciousness. And I have seen time and time again how Maharaj always maintained that mood, that spirit. That he, whenever he saw that anyone is bringing up this kind of considerations, Maharaj used to be very, very heavy. I had one experience in Washington once when Mukunda Maharaj and I came to Maharaj's temple there, and somehow this topic, I mean this consideration came up during the question answer session, and I haven't seen Maharaj get so heavy before. He was so heavy, and he was making the same point that Prabhupada made to him during the first meeting, that if you are affected by that, that means you are in body consciousness. You are not in spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means we are not this body. And it is also an offense to judge a Vaishnav according to his body's identity. To judge a Vaishnav according to his body, physical identity, judge a Vaishnav according to his birth, or to be offensive to a Vaishnava due to his physical deformity, these are all Vaishnava Parada. So Vaishnava is beyond a bodily designation. So this is what affected Maharaj so much. And then, and that was the last straw that broke the camel's back. Maharaj left his left everything and joined ISKCON. And we saw how gradually he got more and more involved. When he surrendered to Prabhupada, when he surrendered to Krishna consciousness movement, it was a total surrender. There was no reservation after that. He was prepared to do anything. And devotees thought, oh, he's an educated person, so let him go to Dallas Gurukul to teach there. And He goes to Dallas Gurukul. But he developed a deep friendship with Satsarup Maharaj during that time. And Satsarup Maharaj, although he was the in charge of the Gurukul, but he got sannyas and he felt that as a sannyasi he should travel and preach. And he asked Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj to join him. And he did that. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj joined Satsarup Maharaj. And in a small group, they started to travel. Another person in that group was, I think, Mahabuddhi Prabhu. And they were traveling and they were blissfully distributing magazines, arranging programs for Satsarup Maharaj, have kirtan and lecture. But then, Hridayananda Maharaj got involved also. Actually, yeah. At that time, what happened is, they were just spent, Maharaj was in bliss, traveling and preaching in that way. And one thing we noticed from Maharaj, right from the beginning, he was so sincerely involved in Krishna consciousness. He used to get up very, very early in the morning. While devotees generally find completing 16 rounds to be difficult, Maharaj used to finish his 32 rounds before Mangalarati. And he used to chant 42 rounds every day. And he maintained that standard throughout. This morning during the discussion, one point actually came up. I think it was Radhanath Maharaj was making that point. That all those devotees, okay, this is how it developed the library party. Now, this library party, like they were not just distributing magazines, now they are involved into distribute Srila Prabhupada's books into the libraries in the universities. And not only books, but they started to take standing orders. Standing orders means the books that are published, they will take that, and the books that will come, they also will take those books. And Prabhupada was extremely pleased with this arrangement. Now that was the biggest thing happening in ISKCON. So the best devotees were actually involved in this program. But then, those devotees couldn't cope up with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj because his sadhana was so strong, his spiritual commitment was so intense that they could not cope up with him and they started to complain that he is too much for them. And that's what Maharaj was also reminding this morning, like, this is what was, that shows, I mean, how advanced he had been right from the beginning. And the point I was trying to make earlier was that in one hand, Maharaj was such a charismatic person who was practically groomed up to be a leader in whichever sphere he went. But when he comes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes so humble. That charismatic, dynamic personality becomes an ideal, humble Vaishnava, an epitome of humbleness. When he was asked what service he would like to render when he joined the temple, he said, which is the most menial service? I would like to do that. And he did that. So we can see the transformation. A dynamic, charismatic, brilliant personality after coming to Krishna consciousness becomes so humble. And that displays the purity of his heart. And that purity actually started to affect those who came in contact with. In this respect, I just recall one instance, one incident. It was one obscure town in America, Mahabodhi Prabhu and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj were distributing books, going to the libraries. But when they arrived, it was like a really obscure, it was, in a way, the description was something like that, that it looked like a prison house somehow. That's the impression they got there. And not only that, on top of that, that place, that day was a holiday. Everything was closed. And so they decided to leave the place and go to the next big city to distribute books. Library party. And so he wanted to go to the toilet. He said he would go to the men's room. And so Mahabodhi Prabhu told him to come back quickly because he wanted to go to the next place as quickly as possible. He thought it would take maximum 15 minutes. He assured him, okay, I'm coming back, right? Coming right back. Half an hour went by. 1 hour went by. 2 hours went by. No Bhakti, no Ghanashyam Prabhu. And then finally he shows up with a big smile. Or rather, I would say a big smile. I would say his usual smile radiating his face. And then he told him what happened. He was in the washroom. And just he happened to another person. There was nobody in the university area. Like, one person just happened to come there. And he started to speak to him. And this person happened to be the head of the religious department. And he started to speak to him about the books. And he took a standing order. And not only he took a standing order, he recommended the books for the library also. So Mahabodhi Prabhu actually recalls that incident as this is how he made miracles to happen. He was, and this is how he committed himself to Srila Prabhupada. Right? He didn't reserve anything for himself. Total surrender. That we can see the way he used to write to Srila Prabhupada every day. He didn't send those letters to Prabhupada. Many of those letters didn't go to Srila Prabhupada, or rather most of the letters didn't go to Srila Prabhupada. He just wrote them as his offerings to Srila Prabhupada, as his communication to Srila Prabhupada. But later on, we saw how Prabhupada recognized him and responded to his love. During the last days of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was quite ill at that time in Vrindavan. Prabhupada practically stopped eating. Rarely he would drink something. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to come and read out the letters to him. The first letter that Tamal Krishna Maharaj would read when the letter came is a letter from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to write to Srila Prabhupada about some amazing happenings that he experienced, amazing experiences that he had during his course of distribution of his Prabhupada's books. One incident I remember, actually we should get those letters. I'm sure those letters were in the archive. I didn't see them in the Black Lotus. This letter is describing He was in one of the communist countries, and you know how the communist countries were during that time, before Glasnost and Perestroika. Like, they were extremely difficult places. And for a foreigner, like from the appearance they could make out that he was a foreigner, and it must have been so difficult for him to hide his identity and continue what he was doing. It was actually, illegal in those countries to distribute religious books because communism is anti-religion. And so Maharaj at one time felt that somebody is following him. So he tried to escape. He tried to run away from him. And it was happening inside the... He just came to the university. And so he was just... This person was following and he was trying to avoid him. And then he saw one door. He couldn't read the language. And he just opened the door. And the door was not locked. So he just walked inside the room. And then he started to speak to that person who was in the office. And by Krishna's divine arrangement, that person spoke English. In communist countries those days, very, very few people spoke English. And then he started to... He told him that he had an appointment with him. So that it was just a fabricated thing. He just presented that... He presented himself as if he is coming to meet with him with a due appointment. And the person was very polite and said, okay, sit down. But he told him that I don't remember having any appointment with anybody as such. And then he started to speak to him. And eventually, he managed to sell a standing order to that person. Not only he escapes from the KGB, but he meets a person and manages to sell him a full set of Prabhupada's books. In this way, he used to write about his amazing adventures behind iron curtains. And Srila Prabhupada used to listen to them with tears streaming down his eyes. And you all know when Prabhupada went to London and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj came to see him, Prabhupada embraced him, inundating him with his tears. That is how much he loved him. Those days I did not meet Maharaj. I was quite new in the movement. And then finally I got the good fortune of seeing him in Calcutta in 1978. And somehow I could immediately recognize him. He walked into the temple and he also recognized me. And I told him, I heard so much about you. And he told me, I heard so much about you too. And that was the first time I met him. And since then, we had so many wonderful time together. And as I was saying, like, this kind of personalities naturally unite everybody. When we are in their association, automatically our consciousness becomes purified. And unity becomes easy. Bhakti Marg Maharaj, during his speech, he mentioned about the importance of our succession. And this is the meaning of succession. Succession means not just inherit the legacy by some legal or other means. It is to inherit the legacy of the spirit, of their attitude and their purity. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj shines forth with his purity. People saw him, and I saw how people got affected by him. I was talking about going to Washington. Mukunda Maharaj and I went from the Potomac Temple to the Maharaj's Washington Center. And Mukunda Maharaj, as Maharaj came and he greeted us, Mukunda Maharaj looked at me and said, "Only Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj can laugh like this." I mean, his smile, his laughter was so pure, so bright. And that is actually the display of the purity of his heart. Another time I remember one member of parliament from UK who happened to go there in South Africa in 1994 during their independence celebration, Independence Day celebration. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was there, and this person told me afterwards that is, mind you, he is a member of parliament. He is surrounded by people who are probably the best orators in the world. All these political personalities, most of them are very good speakers. And he admitted that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's speech in that gathering was the most brilliant speech he had ever heard. So that shows his brilliance. Wherever he may, whoever came across him became most wonderfully affected by him. So, how to get rid of our anarthas? Anarthas are simply the impurities of our heart. Impurities of our heart means the impurities that cover our soul. And that covering stems from our false ego. It is a false ego that actually causes these anarthas. Now, when the soul gets purified, when our consciousness gets purified, then automatically those anarthas will disappear. As long as we are affected by the mode of passion and ignorance, these anarthas will remain. But when we become situated in the mode of goodness, then only the anarthas begin to disappear. And then when you become perfectly situated in our spiritual identity, then all the anarthas will disappear. And when the anarthas disappear, then unity will automatically become manifest. And that's why Prabhupada said that one pure devotee can unify the whole world. And Prabhupada himself did. And Prabhupada's followers, Prabhupada's loyal followers are doing that. Like, Prabhupada came to spread Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada spread it all over the world. But to complete the work, to take it to every town and village, Prabhupada established the institution of ISKCON. Prabhupada knew that he won't be here for too long. Therefore, Prabhupada's main emphasis was on ISKCON. And it is through ISKCON this movement will continue to further Srila Prabhupada's mission. Krishna consciousness movement will eventually be established in every town and village all over the world. And that will happen through this divine arrangement that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made in the form of ISKCON. So we have a very important responsibility. Now let us continue the legacy that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And we are in a very safe ground, I must admit, because a spiritual institution faces the most difficult period after the disappearance of the founder of the institution. We are seeing so many spiritual institutions are just disintegrating soon after the disappearance of their founders. But ISKCON, 35 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, is still together, still united, and not only united, it is growing. ISKCON is growing. So that is an indication that ISKCON is here to stay. ISKCON has overcome the most difficult period. Prabhupada himself said, when an acharya leaves the planet, there is bound to be crisis. And yes, in ISKCON also, we faced many crises after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. But it is because of this sincere dedication of his loyal followers that this movement is growing in an amazing way, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande.
His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj ki. Thank you very much. His Holiness Radhanath Swami and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Mark Swami and all the other uncles and aunties have been speaking so much about our Guru Maharaj and glorifying him and all his amazing qualities. Also, there are so many wonderful, amazing qualities about these amazing devotees. And one of those qualities I'd like to share about His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj at this time. This year, by my Guru Maharaj's arrangement, I was privileged to be in the GBC meeting, a part of the GBC meeting. And His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was introducing a disciple of his who is from Bahrain, Dubai. This disciple is from Dubai. For those of you that may not be aware, Dubai is a Muslim country, and it's not so easy to preach in that part of the world. I believe His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was recently in Bahrain, very deep Muslim country, preaching. Anyway, this disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he has opened amazing Govindas in Dubai. We travel through there all the time, in Dubai. And this devotee was sharing, he actually had sponsored the GBC lunch. And he was sharing about his spiritual master and how his spiritual master has inspired him in such a way that all he wants to do is to serve the devotees all over the world. And because he had some training in food distribution and had some desire to serve prasadam, he has opened this amazingly incredible restaurant where in this country, if you go through this country, devotees can go and actually have prasadam, which is really very rare in a Muslim country. And he was standing up he's actually quite wealthy. However, he was so humble, just such an amazingly humble personality. And his expressions of gratitude was simply to his spiritual master, who has inspired him to serve Srila Prabhupada in this way. So these incredible devotees like His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, they are traveling around As my Guru Maharaj used to say, like spacemen, spiritual spacemen coming from different planets even, and they're just touching people's hearts all over this planet. And this is because of their deep love for Srila Prabhupada. So whatever glorification that they have for our spiritual master, it's only because of the love that they have in their hearts, which we are aware of. But somehow we don't have the words to express our gratitude to all of you for the love that you show us to our spiritual master. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.